Cthulhu presents The Call of Cthulhu Campaign, Curse of Nineveh, by Mike Mason, Mark Laughlin, Scott Dorwood, Paul Fricker, Andrew Kenrick.
So we're all members of the Wentworth Club, which is a London club that's somewhat unusual for the time, which is 1925, because it admits women. We had a funeral. No, it wasn't a funeral. It was a memorial service for a member that we knew of. But I don't think we had we met him personally?
No.
I don't think we had, because we're quite new. So he was a long-standing member, Lord Brightman. Apparently he was murdered, which is kind of interesting. His neck was slit, so goes the gossip. We sit down to dinner and we're joined by a Theodore Raeburn Price, who's known Lord Brightman for 10 years.
Or perhaps 30 or 20. Oh,
yeah, exactly. An unspecified amount of time. At least 10 years? Can we say that?
Absolutely.
So Brightman was a bit of a explorer and adventurer, went off on various digs, brought back artifacts. Price had some of those artifacts. He tells a story of one night when a strange statue was shown at a dinner party, or something like that. And they open this box and it's a statue of Nabu, the Assyrian god of writing. But the statue seemed wrong somehow. Brightman was concerned that people are trying to steal the statue. In the past, someone did try and steal the statue, and Brightman shot this thief, and the thief cursed Brightman.
Sorry, a slight retcon. Brightman's statue is different than the one in your hands, just to be clear.
Okay, so there's two statues of Nabu.
There are many statues from this dig that nobody knows happened. Brightman's is different.
Oh, dear.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, I haven't even got to the bit about us having a cursed statue, so there we go. But when I get to that, we'll know that it's different. So yes, there are various people that we hear about. So Leonard William King, who was one of the leaders of this expedition to Nineveh in 1905. Reginald Campbell Thompson is also someone. We start doing a bit of poking around, I think. We do a bit of research in the club library. Dig up some of this information. At some point, Theodore is sort of called away, so dinner ends, so we're free to go and do this stuff. But then a bit later on in the evening, Theodore is back and he sends messages saying, come and meet him in a lounge. So we go and we find that he's there and this young woman, or the woman in her 20s, and they tell this story about the dig in 1905. They thought they had found the Temple of Nabu. They return. King dies in... do we know what circumstances those are? Maybe I should be looking. I think my notes were better than this. Where are my notes?
He died in a hotel by heart attack, is the report.
Right. So King dies. They try to arrange some other expedition. but they didn't tell anybody about it. So Neve at this point, or the young woman, is called Neve, Neve Selsebook. I don't know how you pronounce that. Oh, you were pronouncing it Neve, which is correct. I don't know.
I would call her Neve, but only because we have one here in who works with us.
Okay, Neve. Neve. She talks up and starts talking about an Ebenezer Albright, who's an antiquities expert, that she consulted about an artifact she got from her friend Archie Glossop. We're not entirely sure at this point why any of this is happening. She says that Albright looked at the symbol on the base of the statue and got scared. He mentioned Naboo and told them to bugger off. Later on, it turns out that her friend Archie Glossop was killed in the museum, and she's very scared. And it seems like she's gone through a lot recently. We get that impression. And she's decided to nope out of London. And they're going to go and hide somewhere. So she gives us this statue that, at least I'm pretty sure, is cursed and is going to cause all the misery that's been happening to them to happen to us. As she leaves, she gives us a journal, or rather, she gives us a package. It says, please give this to our friends, her friends. And we, well, some of us decide to open that and read it. We find out that it is her journal, and it tells this rather fanciful story about her whole trip to the UK so far. And it seems to involve a different statue that she found, some kind of fish statue. The fish statue seems to have magic powers, and if she cuts herself and gets her blood on it, then people combust. She was kidnapped, went to Scotland, was rescued, came back. They killed some fishy people, summoned a fish demon, dispelled a fish demon, got another statue.
Why aren't we playing that scenario?
Yeah, I mean, that sounds like a great scenario. yeah, there's stuff about something called Dagon, something called Hydra. It seems like there's some kind of group of people that believe that they could bring back their old gods if they can do the right things. It turns out apparently that everyone that Neve knows is a magician. All of her friends seem to be ritual magicians. No one seemed particularly surprised that there's all this magic and summoning. Her friend Archie seems to know about magic, is able to dispel this creature. And then in the journal, Archie gives Neve a new statue that he thinks is being targeted, and then he dies.
And that new statue is the one that we have.
Yes, which is also a statue of Naboo. So there's two statues of Naboo. There's a fish statue. There's three statues so far that we know about, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
And they all seem to cause bad things to happen. So,
well, I don't know. The killing people you're mad at may or may not be a bad thing. Yeah, I mean, depending on your worldview,
I suppose.
And the other, and the one that we have, only seems to be bad in the sense that people are killing for it. Like, we haven't.
Oh, but it did give one of our group bad dreams. Do we think that was?
Well, somebody had a bad dream. The person who has the statue happened to have a bad dream. That is true.
Mm-hmm.
But we haven't heard about that yet, right?
And we don't even right.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, nor, I mean, I guess if we haven't heard about that, we also haven't heard about the
contents of the journal.
Contents of the journal. Yeah.
Do we think Maud has the journal? Is that right?
Yes. Yes, Docs, okay. I do. It was quite the read.
And I'm trying to remember. I had been planning to go. Yeah, I was just going to go to the library to read about Naboo, and maybe it was mostly Naboo. Yeah, because our plan had been to meet sort of midday and go to.
Were we just going to go back to the club and have lunch? Or?
No, we were going to meet at the club and then go. Oh, we were going to go to the British Museum to return the statue or. Discuss the statue or look for the statue or whatever. Like there was some investigation. I think we were not of a single mind.
Right.
But I think we all were going to go to the museum, or at least, our various nefarious plans involved going to the museum in different ways, maybe.
Yeah, I thought we were also going to look for Reginald Thomas because he's still alive and he's the archaeologist, one of the archaeologists who was on both of these digs.
Yes, that seems likely too.
And I think what we need to do is if we keep like a list of leads at the top of the notes, because there's too many things here, right?
Yes.
Well, and also after reading the journal, we know that Nev's friends are members of the Wentworth Club. So Bingo and his wife Honoria are members of the club. And nowhere in her journal did Nave say how she met Mr. Price.
Oh, I think she said that she met him at the Wentworth Club.
Well, yes, so like this, but there was no, like, there was just...
No, it was kind of a summary. It was like, oh, I joined the Wentworth Club and I met Theodore.
Yeah, it just seemed tacked. I guess I'm still a little suspicious about us being chosen to get this statue and
bear in mind it was
starting
already
to see conspiracies and she loves it.
Yeah, it was already a 60 page handout, so if they had have packed it full of even more detail, I don't think any of us would have read it, so it's a miracle so many of us did out of 8 players, right? So right, what are our leads? There's research about Naboo.
Yes.
British Library. There's the living members of the expedition. So we think that's Thompson.
Yes.
Yep. Reginald Thompson.
Reginald Thompson.
And it says he was born in Kensington, doesn't say in.
Yeah, I mean, he's a club member, so I assume we could. Would I be right in thinking, Sean, that there'll be like a members directory?
He's not a club member. Who are you talking about? He's not a club
Reginald member. Thompson. Oh, okay. Sorry. It's too confusing. Okay. Well, I assume we'd be able to look him up. Who's who or whatever.
In fact, we did find. Right. We found somebody in Who's Who. We found Reginald Thompson yes. In Who's Who, good. 1924. Yeah, we got some information about him. And presumably it also has something about where he is now, as opposed to simply where he went to school.
So I guess the other things we could look up are the death of, what's his name, Archie.
Yes.
Which was at the British Museum.
Yes.
So I assume there'll be a lot of, well, there'll probably be a lot of press interest in that, maybe, and talk to some of the museum guards or his colleagues. What else have we got?
Do we need more?
No, we might probably try not.
To figure out where the merman statue went.
What don't we? Doesn't she still have that?
No, she had given it to Archie.
There's too many statues. Had she given it, or had she just said they should look at it? Because they went to Albright. I suppose we could go and see him.
Yeah.
Albright's dead.
No, he's.
Oh no!
No. Because there's two antiquities dealers. One of them died, but Albright is the. We think he's still alive. Maybe he's not. Who knows? Everyone seems to turn up dead. If they.
Well, you know. Well, you can't know perfectly, but you know at least that a few days ago he was alive because she went to him with the statue. Yeah. So unlike the other antiquities dealer, who got a little fresh and then found himself on fire.
Yeah, I mean a lot of people were alive a few days ago that aren't alive now.
Yeah, so it's hard to keep track, but I'll just tell you out of game, he's still alive. How's that? Okay.
That's great.
Because as you say, there's a lot of moving pieces here, and if we're going to go down all the rabbit holes, we'll be here for days. So every now and then I may just close a rabbit hole for you.
And that's the one we're going to go down.
Yeah.
Well, that's, of course, going to be the most attractive.
GM doesn't want us to go that way. We're definitely going to go that way. Yeah.
Okay.
There was also something in the journal, which obviously I haven't read yet in character, but Neve's uncle, Thomas, seemed to know about Assyrian mythology in Naboo, so he could be a source of information.
Yeah.
Well, I guess certainly I'm plenty still of leads. I'm still the cop. I came, you know, sit around the library and start browsing Syrian history books and whatnot to see if, you know, I recall some extension. Because I don't know any of this, so.
Should we fast forward to us having lunch together and maybe Maud can give us the summary of the journal and then we're all up to date.
We're all going to meet at 11 o'clock at the club, I believe.
Yeah, and I was going to go to the library in the morning first, but I can certainly not do that if it's easier.
It's up to you.
Yeah, go to the library. That way you can have...
I can report in on that.
Yeah.
So
I will plan on spending one library roll's worth of time in the morning. that is a normal success, and I'm looking, I think I will mostly be looking about Naboo and the Temple of Naboo. More from a scholarly sense than from a mystical sense, if that makes sense.
Sure. So in the notes, I've put in a little thing about Naboo that you will find as part of your research. The only thing that's more about Naboo himself. If you want to look at that, and I don't know if you want to read the whole thing or just want to read the key points. In terms of the Temple of Naboo, with a regular success, it's talked about as a thing that exists, but is still unfound.
Okay, so I get some hints and maybe we come back at some point and spend a bunch more time. So I'll just say it could be more about the temple given more time. So Naboo is from 2000 BC, god of knowledge and writing. Used to be Marduk's scribe, but then became Marduk's son. I don't know what assimilated as. hung out, temples, blah, 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 major gods, wisdom writing, tablets of destiny, mythic artifacts that record the fate of humanity. Some myths tell that Nabu recorded the fate of each human life upon a tablet, and he had the power to increase or diminish an individual's fate according to what he wrote. Left eye is often shattered or broken. Clasped hands denote that he is a priest, and he's sometimes shown mounted on a winged dragon named Sirish. He who is called. Great.
Just for fun, I'll throw in this picture I found.
Oh, nice. Look at that. There's a little one I do. Yeah, so this guy has his clasped hands nicely done. But he does seem to have two eyes and a nice, sort of a Christmas figure, a nice top hat and a big beard. It's definitely a Santa Claus figure. That's going to be useful.
No way that could go wrong.
Exactly. All right. So with that, I feel like we are at the library. I mean, nope, at the club.
Yeah, so you all gather in a room. It's a fairly large room, hopefully, given the number of you. And I assume can just exchange information as you will.
Yeah. So I certainly don't have any secrets that I am keeping.
No, and I'd love to dish about this. Yes, I opened it. So we, you know, instead of just delivering it in the mail, I thought maybe taking it to Unaria and Bingo would be more the thing to do.
Yeah, so last night I was out to dinner with friends, and I saw the Slack notice, and I said, oh, it's going to be one of those games where somebody hands them a package and says, deliver this. They open it and read it, and then another player says, oh, don't worry about it. They didn't say we couldn't open it and read it before we mailed it. Just thought, oh, it's going to be that game.
Well.
That's fine. Okay.
Yeah, it mods that person.
Yeah, so. Understood.
We can reparcel it up. It's fine.
She was very clear to be steaming it open.
Yeah.
I don't think there was even any tape on it.
Yeah, it was open.
Right.
Do we intend to actually deliver it at some point?
Well, that's what I was going to say, that I'd be happy to join someone, or somebody wanted to join me and take this to Unaria and Bingo. They are club members, and they know ritual magic.
Mm. Yes, I will accompany you. That sounds...
And since their friend Archie just died... maybe attending the funeral, finding out when those services would be. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, certainly delivery. We certainly can say that we were asked to deliver it in person.
Yes.
In fact, I think we were.
Yeah. The interesting. To find out, you know, their perspective on things. Well, you know, I doubt they're necessarily going to tell us, you know, as soon as they've met us about strange summonings and human combustion. It's not the kind of thing.
Just isn't done.
One discloses until, at least the second social meeting, yes. But...
So what I'm... Know, so, so what I'm hearing is that Maud and Kitty and somebody else wants to go visit Bingo in Honoria?
Yeah, I'll go along.
Okay. What are other people like to do now that you've all exchanged information?
I think I would happily go to the museum as a tourist and just sort of see, you know, not talk to anybody for the moment, but just sort of see what the exhibits look like in the, you know, go look at the Assyrian exhibits and so forth.
Okay. And Oswald, do you wish to do that as well?
Yes, that sounds interesting.
Okay. How about Roger Montgomery? What tickles your fancies?
Yeah, I'm thinking about going with Agatha as well. That sounds like a good idea. Agatha and Mr. Oswald. Nichols.
I'm and sure Roger, they will have very nice elephants there for you to look at.
What third previously undiscussed task will you be doing?
I think it's Catherine and Maud are going to deliver the package to our fellow club member. That means I don't have to leave the club. So much the better.
Oh, well, they're going to the person's house, though.
Oh, well.
You would have to leave the club. It would involve moving, which
yes,
is your strong point.
Well, then I will go to the museum. I don't care to visit someone's house, but they do have chairs and assistants at the museum.
Oh, you're welcome to stay at the club, too, if you want. I mean, you can wander around and talk to people at the club. Maybe there's information there. There isn't, but, you know, maybe.
You've talked me into it. I will stay at the club.
We don't have anybody looking to figure out where Reginald Thompson is or contacting...
you could probably find that information out just by quizzing other club members, though, couldn't you?
Yeah. So yeah, I will stay at the club and ask about Mr. Thompson.
Excellent. Let's start at the top of the little list I've made so I can keep track of where your people are running around. Yes, so Five Well Road out in Hampstead. You are headed out there. Not a problem. You can certainly find their house. Could everybody give me a spot hidden roll as you approach their house?
Ooh. This probably requires a character sheet open, doesn't it?
Oh, it depends how you roll.
Yeah.
Ooh, 28 is a success. Regular.
I also have a regular success.
And same here.
All right. So you arrive there. It's a well-appointed terrace house. Nice neighborhood. Kids playing in the street type thing. How are you going to approach this situation?
Well, my thought was to ring the doorbell and say that we were members of the Wentworth Club, and last night we met with their friend Nave and Theodore, and she asked us to deliver this package, and that we had had this meeting. I don't know. People have thoughts.
I think that's... Let's be honest, yeah. And tell them we're looking into the circumstances of their friend Archie's death. Yeah,
that would be the best way, I think.
We can watch how they react to all of this.
We haven't been investigators long enough to be that jaded yet.
Exactly.
All right, so you're approaching the door. I give it a little knock. There's a little window next to the door. You see a young woman with curly hair, maybe in her mid-20s, sort of peek out at the three of you sitting on her step, and she says, go away. Go away. Don't bother us.
Onaria?
Yeah. Please go away. And you hear a sort of youngish man's voice in the back saying, I'm calling the police. I'm going to call the police on you.
Nev said us.
Oh, how do we know that's true?
We met her at the Wentworth Club last night with Teddy.
We've got a package for you. From her.
We're members as well. Here's my card, and I'll slip it under the door.
Maud, go ahead and give me a charm roll, please. Or persuade, I guess, would be fine.
Let's see.
Can I do a charm roll? That's my highest skill.
Oh, well, definitely, then. You did speak up as well.
70 out of 75. So barely.
So good you have so much skill in that. Let's see if Maud can do better with her.
Maud did not put any into charm. Maud is not very charming.
That's false form. Perfect. She will. You can see her sort of. You can hear her sort of fumbling with the locks, and she will sort of crack open the door a bit and said, "Hand me the journal through the door.
Hand me
the package through the door.
I do.
Is it wrapped or is it just open?
It's wrapped. It's rewrapped.
You hear the door close and just one of the locks go in place. Unwrapping of paper. You hear the lock undone and she says, oh, please come in.
Thank you.
Are you quite okay?
Come inside now. Come.
Yes, of course.
She will usher you inside. She is... Now you get a full view. You can see that she's got a colorful scarf on and large earrings. She looks like a traveler. And behind her is a well-dressed, his hair is slightly wild, but he's got a giant smile. And he says, come in, quickly.
You seem to be just as afraid as Nev was last night.
Are you coming in while saying that? Or
we're in at this point.
Okay. Let me just make sure. Heathcliff, you're coming in as well?
Yes, of course he's coming.
He's coming. He's following.
So they usher you all in. She closes the door and the three locks go back on again. So please come in, sit down. They've got a little parlor area, and I'm on our area. This is Bingo. Would you like some tea?
Yes.
Oh, yes, tea would be lovely, thank you.
You hear sort of Bingo sort of...
My Stephanie.
...bounding back into the back of the house a little bit and comes out with a tray with tea, because that's what we do here. It's a little nice little... plate full of biscuits too. And thank you for delivering this to us. It's where is Steffi? Where is she? Okay.
She was okay last night. She and Teddy were going into hiding. She was terribly afraid for your well-being.
Oh, I wish she hadn't felt the need to hide. I mean, it's been uncomfortable here, but. Yes.
What's been uncomfortable?
Oh, well, there are people who are watching us. You can look outside. Did you not see them coming in?
No.
No.
We saw children playing.
No. Over there, between those houses there, you can just see He's standing there. He's just watching. He smokes all day. And at some point he'll trade out for another man and another man. They just keep watching the house.
Can we see these people?
Yeah.
Go ahead and do that. That seems fine. And yes, as you sort of push the curtain slightly, you do see that there is a man in a hat and a sort of a not a formal hat, but sort of a cap more than anything, and rough clothing, sort of between houses over to the across the street. He's doing that thing where, like, he's clearly watching the house, but trying not to make it seem as if he's watching the house. Mm-hmm. You know, he's got his head sort of turned to the side, and every now and then you can see it sort of, he's trying to just sort of look out of the corner of his eyes at the house, but he just can't help himself from turning his head that direction.
Hmm. Do you think this is related to what happened to poor Archie?
I don't know. Nevi's always getting into some sort of situation or another. She's just one of those people that attracts trouble.
Can you tell us a little about what happened to Nevi recently?
Well, I don't really know. I mean, she arrived here, and soon afterwards, people started watching the house. It's something to do with Archie, we think, her friend. I don't know what, but soon after she sort of started reaching out and spending more time with Archie. Hmm. Oh, you can see Bingo sort of shaking his head. Poor, poor Archie.
Yes, indeed.
I mean, we've been frantic. Archie is killed, and we know that she's going over there that morning, and then we don't hear from her till you've arrived at our doorstep. It's been maddening.
What do you know about this stuff with Naboo?
Well, I mean, we know that Archie and her were thick as thieves on something going on related to Naboo. She tried to keep us out of it to the extent she could. I think she felt a little bit off that she had to rely so much for us on a another matter. But I don't. It's something to do with Naboo. Something to do with the temple. I'm not sure what's going on. But all I know is that she's very anxious about something, and Honoria says, I noticed it. I don't know. Now I feel like I'm always being watched when I walk around the streets, even not here, but everywhere. I feel like there are people always watching what we're doing. And she sort of reaches her hand over to Bingo, and she says, it's been just so stressful lately.
Now, this may seem like a strange question, but do you believe in magic or curses?
Oh, no. Why would we believe in such things?
Is that worthy of a psychology?
Yeah.
Oh, I should have put some points in psychology. Oh, dear. No.
I'm beginning to wonder what I put my points in.
Yeah, where did I put my points? Oh,
adventuring somehow.
51 in firearms and 60 in brawl. Okay, well.
Did you say psychology?
Yes, we're trying to.
Yeah, I've got 40 in psychology.
You can roll if you wish.
So 23. So yep, that's.
They're lying. Oh my lordy, they're lying.
Excuse me.
They're relying on the British sensibility of the time that nobody would call them out on a lie for people you just met. He says just before Gary calls them out on a lie that they just met.
Exactly. He says,
well, that's. Oh, there it goes.
You could actually tell us the truth, you know. He's a blunt officer.
Mm.
Well, Neve mentioned that you, Honoria, and Archie were was somewhat into magic, didn't she? When we were having that conversation last night, yes, definitely came up.
Yes.
Give me a fast talk. See how many points you put into that.
That's my skill, baby.
Yes, but you aren't the one speaking.
Look at the mic. I've put 75 into charm, I've put 50 into persuade, and 5 in fast talk. I am a terrible liar. Here goes. 75 out of 5.
Bingo stands up and says, I don't know why you're here or what you're doing, but I'm beginning to become a little uncomfortable here. I appreciate you bringing this as package, but
she really did bring it to us. She really did ask for our help. She was terribly, terribly frightened. She was terribly frightened for you. She felt terrible about Archie. I mean, it all sounds so dreadful, and we just want to be of help.
I'd really like to persuade you that that we only have her best interests at heart.
Interesting. Hole keeps digging deeper. All right. You can try to persuade them of your good intentions there. Kitty?
0/3 out of 50. Extreme success.
Bingo will sit back down again.
Oof. I must remember not to lie with my 5%.
I'll do the lie.
I keep forgetting I'm not playing a system where failing makes you better. So,
again, thank you for bringing this. I don't know if is there anything else we can. I don't think we have any other information that would be helpful. I don't. What is it? What is it you wish us to do?
I mean, the more we can understand about what kind of situation Neve's got herself into, the better. You know, you must understand. Without information, we could run afoul of the same people that have. You know, hurt your poor friend Archie and have caused your friends to go into hiding. Maybe the very same people that are outside surveilling your house now.
Honoria will sort of look down and say, yes, we, Archie and I, have engaged in magics in the past. Neve has not, although we had hoped that she might be someone who would be skilled in such matters. But I have to say that it is Archie was much more serious about it than I was. I considered it to be a fun pastime, but he was the one who was focused on these matters more. And I mean, I can't believe that anything... I just don't know what to make of all of this. Was it just a robbery at the museum? Was he attacked by some forces? Did Neve do something that caused him harm? It's all just a jumble.
Okay.
Well, I will tell you that we are going to pursue this because. You know, we are also members of the Wentworth Club and exploration and this kind of thing is what we do, right?
And they kind of look at each other and say, I think Neve misunderstood. We're not actually members of the club. We were invited by Teddy.
Oh.
And Archie is... Father at one point was, but Archie himself has never been a member. He couldn't afford it on his assistant curator salary. So it's always having a hard time making ends meet as it was. So we were always guests of Teddy's. I can see why Neve would think that. And I wouldn't be surprised if Bingo sort of smiles for the first time. I wouldn't be surprised if Archie sort of expanded his role with the club to try to impress Neve, although it did seem like that night that he and Teddy were in a bit of a tussle over gaining her attentions.
Oh, I see.
Well, and Bingo raises his hand, like, not in a inappropriate way on Archie's. He's married. He has a child.
Archie was married?
Yes. Neve was the sort of person that people wanted to spend time with. It wasn't inappropriate. Although I wouldn't be surprised if Teddy, he's been a bachelor for a long time now. I wouldn't be surprised if he was interested in her in a more romantic way. But Archie just wanted to spend time in her influence. It's she's quite a captivating woman. I wish you'd known her before these events started happening.
From the way she spoke about him, I always thought, okay.
I would not be surprised if Teddy was enamored by the attentions of an attractive woman.
Oh, yes, that was certainly
evident. I think Archie is nothing but honorable. I don't believe he would cross any bounds, but I think he might not emphasize certain things. Here, and Bingo will pick up a piece of paper and hands you a piece of paper. It says 4 Smitty Street, Mile End, which you know is in eastern London. Here, this is the address of his house. If you wish to talk to his wife, she may have information that we do not.
Yes. I wonder if Archie took any of his work home. Well, thank you very much. Again, I'm terribly sorry about your recent loss. Will there be a funeral?
I don't believe so, and if so, it's probably already happened. It's we thought the world of Archie, but he was not the sort of man that the public would demand a funeral for, if you know what I mean.
If you find that you need assistance or think of something else that might be helpful, you could leave a message for us at the Wentworth Club.
Well, we will do that. Thank you.
Be happy to sponsor you there.
Oh, no. Teddy has offered many times to there. I just, my work is all consuming, and an area here works for a government official. It might not be appropriate. We appreciate the offer, but we've made a decision not to join. And with that, they will sort of do the pleasantry things of, well, no, look at the time, and we will go to the museum. Agatha, Oswald, and Montgomery, what is your plan at the museum?
Well, wander the Assyrian, wander the
Civician
antiquities.
Okay.
I guess this is the part that was cordoned off.
For the period.
See what we can see. That's my plan.
Sure enough. So the cordoning off was a couple days ago now.
Good. Yep.
So you don't have to worry about the sort of that. The museum is obviously open to the public. What happened here? Why did not? Oh, there you go. Got a little fun picture in here. I feel like they spend a lot of time paying people to draw things. I should put them in the notes for you. So the museum is open, 10 to 5. There's all sorts of collections of things stolen from all over the world. Sorry, Jonathan. The Assyrian collection is pretty impressive. It's, all sorts of stone and statues and relics and you sort of read around as you're walking along. There are these the tablets. There's over 60,000 tablets. They proudly proclaim some of the sort of little info things, talking about, you know, geopolitical and geographical and legal documents. The story of the creation of the flood is there. There's giant stone monoliths. There's winged, human-headed winged lions. It's a fairly sizable part of the museum.
Yeah. So,
I think we'd look for anything, from Reginald Campbell Thompson.
So that is not a problem at all. You do find he's, you know, from his earlier dig, you do find a sizable number of the tablets and statues, you know, are related to that. It's not as much as Layard's excavations,
but
it's still, you know, he's got enough there to sort of establish that he, you know, he made his mark in this overall collection. And, you know, it's not at various points you'll read that, like, they make it very clear, like, oh, the museum is proud to store, you know, all, you know, many, many more artifacts that are being curated as we speak. You know, making it clear that,
yeah,
like, as impressive as this is, there's many more things out there. Sorry, Randall, I interrupted. Go ahead.
That's what I was thinking. Maybe we should talk to the curator of this and kind of approach him with the angle of, hey, we heard there's a statue that looked like this. Is that true? And right. We describe the statue that we have and see what his reaction is and see if he knows anything about it.
Yeah, I mean, that sounds good. What is there anything in any of the exhibits to Nibiru?
Yes. There are definitely small statues. There's little information pieces similar to what Dame Agatha found this morning in doing a little bit of research. It's, you know, Nibiru is a god among many, you know, and a prominent one, an important one, but, you know, it's not like there's a feature for Nibiru per se.
Right.
It's not like there's a wall that's just Nibiru. It's like, here are these cool gods they had.
Okay. Yeah, so nothing jumping out as important.
Nope.
Yeah. Why not? We can definitely try. See the curator.
Yes, perhaps I will tell them I'm researching a book. Let's see. The mysteries, so perhaps on the Nile.
Yeah, we could be your consultant.
Yes, so you can certainly walk around and find, you know, a staff person. How can I help you?
Who's taking lead on this? You want me to do this? Or
you? Yeah, I can.
I think whoever has the highest credit rating should probably do it.
Not it.
All right. I got just enough to get into the club, so.
Okay. So, well, then maybe me. So,
that's a good sign.
Well, good afternoon. Yes, we were looking into some information on one of the Assyrian gods in these exhibits.
Oh, we've got lots of information here, and the there's a library that you could do some research on if you wished.
Well, we were wondering if maybe, you know, for the interest of the research that we're doing, maybe you had any pieces that weren't on display perhaps related to Naboo?
Oh, well, I'm sure we have many pieces. I don't know if we have any specifically on that. Do you have a card?
I'm sure I do, Sean.
Okay, maybe? That's fine. Yeah, no, I don't.
Yeah, he has a card.
You have things you want. Yeah, that's fine. I don't want to get in your way that way. if you wait just here, I will go and see if Mr. Longton is available.
That would be wonderful. Thank you so much.
Give me two rolls. Give me a credit rating.
Nope.
Okay. We don't need the second roll then.
and she that was comes, a no by a lot.
Yeah, she comes back not that long later. And says, he's very busy right now. Perhaps you could come by another day?
Yeah, I mean, what would be the best for him? I'm, willing to meet his schedule. He's a busy man, I'm sure.
Tomorrow, perhaps? First thing, the museum opens at 10?
Sounds great.
Sure. Yes. Yes.
Well, thank you. Thank
and you're just you. You're just doing research. You just need to know a little bit about Naboo and exhibits.
Yes, we were interested in some of the iconography, like some of the statues that you might have in for a display.
Well, yes. Come by tomorrow morning, 10 o'clock. And you can ask for me. I'll be working tomorrow.
And your name was?
Loretta.
Loretta. Thank you, Loretta.
God, that's a bad name to make up. Never going to remember that one. Yes. So you get the sense that, like, yes, he's willing to meet you. No, he's not willing to drop everything to come meet you.
Yeah.
Like, no problem. A member of the public is inquiring. I want to help him out, but boy, today feels busy. Maybe tomorrow.
Okay. Yeah, no worries.
Okay. Anything else you want to do at the museum?
Is there any, I would like to go and just sort of see if there's any traces of violence, broken glass or repair, something that's being repaired, or a public area that's still closed. Just sort of do a little, see what happens here after a murder in a museum.
Go ahead and give me a spot hidden. Spot hidden.
Okay.
Yeah.
Ooh, that's a success.
Yeah. So you look around and, there doesn't seem to be anything you see that sort of looks like that there was a violence here. And I'm just going to say to you, you get the sense that, like, this didn't happen, like, in the museum proper.
Right. It would have happened back in some back place or something. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
That is still useful information. Not really, but.
I was happy to provide it. Sort of. anybody else doing anything? Oswald, Montgomery?
I mean, not if there's nothing really pointed about Naboo that tells us, where it was area wise.
Okay.
Sure. No. I think probably just think about coming back tomorrow.
Okay. Montgomery, anything?
No, not really. 10 a.m. tomorrow sounds good.
Okay. We will go then to Roger in the club.
Yes.
So I will just kind of, I'm not going to try to push the issue. I'm not, you know, going to try to rush, just run around and ask everyone.
Mm-hmm.
That would be ridiculous.
Sure.
But I will just go about my usual club business, reading, smoking, drinking, eating way too much red meat. You know, and in the course of any kind of casual conversation that happens to come up, I will ask, you know, after a few minutes of casual conversation, casually work in, do you happen to know Mr. Reginald Thompson?
So let's see. Why don't you give me a luck roll?
I would be happy to do that. And that does not look good. No, I fail.
All right. So, and you're having a series of conversations. This isn't a sort of a one-shot luck roll. So, Reginald Thompson, you know, the first guy you talked to, oh, yes, yes, yes. Fine fellow. Always good for a good story. Hasn't been here for a bit. He's been busy some project or another at the museum, but capital fellow. Surprised we didn't see him last night, actually.
At the museum? He works at the British Museum?
Doesn't work there. He has a close relationship with them. He's essentially, they sponsor his expeditions, and they get first crack at the items he brings back. Well, the ones he and the other group don't keep for themselves. But whatever's left, they get first crack at those. And they get to pay for him to go off and be you know, adventurer sort, and they get some exhibits out of it. Yes.
Ah, that sort of thing. Of course. Do you happen to have a address for him? I was contacted yesterday by a young lady who asked me to deliver a package to him.
I do not. It's possible that Sykes knows where he is. I don't know.
Well, I shall talk to Sykes. Thank you.
All right. Can you give me another luck roll?
That one succeeds somehow.
Mm-hmm. All right. So and you're asking. Oh yes. I know him. I'm friendlier, one of the chaps who went off on that last dig of his, but I know him.
He has recently been digging.
Well, that's the story. Is that he went over there? It's a bit of a bad time to be over there, and with all the disturbances and such there, it seems not wouldn't have been signed off on by the home office, if you would, but apparently he went over there and brought back some things.
Over there being Mesopotamia.
Yeah, Iraq area, yes.
Yes, that would be Mesopotamia.
That's such a Roger thing to do. yes.
You said you knew a companion of his.
Yes. Hold on a minute. What was that? McAvoy, Terrence McAvoy. Yeah. It's over in Hebron Road, the Hammersmith Way.
Well, if I cannot get in touch with Mr. Thompson, perhaps I shall attempt to contact Mr. McAvoy.
Oh, I'm sure a word from McAvoy would get Thompson's attention. Thompson's an odd duck. He's you have to know somebody who knows him for him to sort of pop out of whatever hole he's in.
Well, then I shall very certainly attempt to. This McAvoy, I don't suppose he is a club member.
No. He's someone I met at one time. He's a good chap, archaeologist. No. He's not the sort that we would let in the club. Not like someone like you, of course.
Well, no, of course not.
Interesting. Why are you interested in Thompson?
Oh, a young woman that myself and some of the other club members last night mentioned his name and asked us to get in touch with him.
Oh, is it the one that Rayburn Price was swooning over?
Yes. It's all a bit of nonsense, but it is fascinating from a psychological perspective how certain men would get involved with such ridiculousness and how certain women in their jealousy would follow along. But
yeah, I don't know what to make of Rayburn Price. He's an odd duck. He's obviously the sort of person that knows everybody. Every now and then he'll be a broker for a deal of one sort or another, but it's hard to know what he thinks about these things. I know that he's, every now and then you'll have him tell a story. He told one night about some curse that was gone against some young fellow, and the young chap died 3 days later. But it's hard to tell if he's just telling tales or if he really believes those things.
Well, that's the part of the fascinating point about it, isn't it? There shall definitely be a book in this, I think, given the levels that some of these people are willing to go to either share their beliefs or their actual beliefs. But.
Well, I wish you luck.
Oh, thank you. I'll just let the conversation kind of drift off for a little while.
Yep. All right, well, let's pop back to Team Bingo.
And Bingo was his name. Oh, okay. well...
So as we leave, does the guy watching the house note this in any particular way?
Give me a spot hidden if you're all looking.
Yeah, I'm going to definitely keep a close eye on the dude.
Yep, absolutely.
Spot hidden. Fail for me.
It's 03, so... Mm-hmm. That would be an extreme success. Excuse me. Oh.
Mod?
I had a regular success.
All right. So with a regular success, you definitely notice that his eyes sort of dart towards you. With an extreme success, Heathcliff, you see him pulling out a pad, starting to write something down.
If one of us shouldn't sneak around that fellow on the back or watch him, follow him.
I had exactly the same idea, Maud, but I'm thinking Bingo and Onaria mentioned that they change, you know, it's not the same person.
Right, so he must go back and report, and he's going to report on us, so... We should find out who he's reporting us to.
Yes, my thoughts exactly.
Look at Heathcliff. He's like,
Well, I mean, Heathcliff looks, but I mean, I'm not very stealthy, to be honest, but I can go and get him and see who he's trying to report to.
Well,
I've done my fair amount of sneaking in my time.
I was going to say, I have a
distraction or two.
Yes, if he's sitting there smoking, perhaps one of us needs a light.
Did I tell you about my time spent with the suffragettes learning jiu-jitsu?
Fascinating.
Yes.
Oh, kitty.
Picked up a few moves in my time.
All right. Well, should we go back to the car, Heathcliff, and we'll circle around? Yes?
Yep. Sounds good.
So we could always go and interview the widow and then come back. Because I don't know how long they're going to be. Or we could just stay and watch.
I was going to say, or one or two of us could go off to interview the widow and two watch where this guy goes. And that way... It seems more fraught with peril than interviewing widow.
We could always meet up with the others and see if some of the others would like to assist.
Yeah, but I don't want to let him out of her sight with our information.
That Nichols fellow looks like he could handle himself in a fight.
Indeed. Well, but should one of us stay and watch him?
I can hang around. If you wish.
Yeah, we could go and interview Mrs. Glossop. We didn't get a name, did we?
It's Glossop, yeah.
Yeah, let's do that.
Okay.
Cool, so we'll basically hang around, keeping an eye on the guys, keeping an eye on the house.
Okay, so we've divided into yet another group. Perfect. Another team of one. Let us go back to the museum team. What are you all doing with your extra time now?
Probably just go back to the court.
Yeah. I mean, either that or we could spend some more time in the library. I sort of got the sense that there may be more information there. I just didn't have time this morning.
Or maybe I can help there. Yeah.
Maybe we could try and find out where Reginald Thompson lives.
That's true. I mean, he did have an entry in Who's Who, so I do think we should. That would be pretty easy to get.
Yeah.
We could, I mean, that would also potentially be, we could do that at the library or perhaps.
Yeah, we can go to the library, you know, and go from there.
Yeah.
All right. Library it is, Sean.
Yeah, so that's fine. What are you looking up here?
So more references basically on the, I will try to continue my research on the inscriptions on the statue. Maybe a little bit more about the deity, but more on the occult side of things, not so much on historical information. And yeah, I'll do that.
Okay, that sounds fine.
I think I will start a lifelong passion for archaeology shortly.
Okay.
Learn about the people and the science of archaeology.
All right.
And I think I'm going to try and look up information on, you know, documented previous excursions into that area in Iraq, and then cross-reference it with like some maps just to kind of like narrow down the areas where Nabu, the temple, would not be.
Okay, go ahead and let's start with Montgomery. Go ahead and give me a library use roll.
Library use is a success.
Cool. And you're specifically trying to do what again? Sorry.
So inscriptions and more about Naboo, but on the occult side of things.
And what kind of success did you have?
Normal success.
Yeah. So you don't find anything on the inscriptions. It appears to be more runic than a sort of traditional language that you've sort of looked at these sort of things before. Doesn't seem to be anything like that. In terms of Naboo, you do know that that Naboo was, again, you find out that, Ishtar was the goddess of fertility, love, and war, and Naboo were sort of the, constantly sort of in competition with each other, in terms of like which one was going to be ascendant in terms of which people were in charge. So like some years they were all about like, hey, we're going to go to war with these people. Ishtar is our religious focus. And then sometimes it was, all right, well, let's focus on, building better road systems and this, that, and the other thing. Let's do some scientific achievements. And Naboo sort of risen up. But they both were sort of ascendant. At the height of Nineveh, they were the two deities of, again, there are multiple other deities, but they were sort of the two that were most prominent. But when the Assyrian Empire sort of unraveled, former vassals, the Babylonians, the Persians, etc., sort of sacked the city in 612 BC. That was pretty much the beginning of the end. And while they were still out there, they were still prominent, they didn't have nearly the cultural significance that they once did.
Okay. And what about any cross reference with Naboo and this Dagon deity that speaks about?
No, you don't find anything that sort of suggests that those two are connected.
Okay.
Cool. Dame Agatha?
Yeah. She gets a hard success.
Mm-hmm.
And she has been looking into, sort of the history and science of Middle Eastern archaeology.
So I have nothing as a keeper to offer to you in that area. But what I'll just say is, if you want to keep a mental note that if something comes up later and you're like, I feel like that's tied into that time I spent doing research and got a hard success, I'll give you advantage on a roll.
Cool.
That would say
chip to be used later, because I don't really have anything here that makes me think, oh, that's something to be useful. Mm-hmm. I will give you one thing, though, I guess. I will give you...
That would include, I guess, digs towards the Temple of Naboo, if that, you know, if there's something that comes up. If you're something from the Times.
So I've just put something in the Times. It's King's obituary.
Oh, okay. Okay.
That might, you know, we'll say you just sort of stumble up on that at one point while doing all this research.
Yeah.
That might provide some information. And lastly, Oswald, can I get a roll from you?
Yes, sir. That'll be a fail.
You fail?
Yeah. I spend a lot of time and look at a lot of maps and don't really find out anything that helps. Great.
Well, but what I will say is that you realize that, like, the Temple of Naboo, like, you're reasonably competent as an individual. And the fact that you're unable to sort of sort it out, you know, there's nothing there that sort of says this is exactly where it is, makes you feel like, you know, that this is, it's not easy to find. Like, it's a thing that people have been looking for, and some people are like, oh, well, it's over here. And some people are like, no, it's definitely over here. So it's one of those things that, like, Blackbeard's treasure in Rhode Island type thing, where people are like, oh, I bet he buried his treasure here. He buried it here.
Right.
You know, people know of it. People are, you know, there's lots of folk stories about where it might be. But people wander around sort of saying it must be here, it must be here.
Right. Okay.
Are either of William King's books, The Babylonian Magic and Sorcery or Letters of Hammurabi, things that I can, that are available in the library?
You can certainly have both of them and read through them. I don't have any particular information on them though. So.
Okay. Because I think the one thing that is sort of stands out is that he copies this inscription of Darius from the rock face, presumably at Behistun, mm-hmm. For several weeks, and that it is at the British Museum with full translation. And so we may go and look at that tomorrow when we... return to look at the things. I mean, we can be specific about that.
Yep, absolutely. And I will be specific that you're not going to do that in this session because I don't know what you're talking about. Correct. So,
okay.
much like I found out all sorts of new things from reading Neve's journal, which I read like 2 weeks ago.
Beforehand.
But it's completely different when you're actually in the throngs of all this. So. Yes. Roger, what are you up to?
Fine nap after lunch.
Finding the mute button, first of all. So, yes. So, Mr. Schindler will finish his lunch.
Second lunch.
Cigar. Brief nap, and then call for a taxi.
Bring a taxi.
And I will direct the taxi to take me to wherever it was that the gentleman said Terrence McAvoy lived. There was some kind of street, or there was I neglected to actually note it down myself, but...
Oh, I'm sure you're more competent than... Well, your characters. Yes, he did give you an address for Terrence McAvoy's house. It's less of an address, like it's less he gives you a sort of number, and he's like, oh, I was at his house once. It's right near the he sort of describes it to you in that way, that you're able to sort of direct the taxi to Hebron Road and get there and sort of figure out which house they're talking about.
Fair enough. And I will ask the taxi to wait.
Oh, sure. Give me a credit rating.
Is that a hard success? It's almost a hard success.
Good enough. He'll wait for your governor.
But no, it's a normal success.
Fine.
Cool. I shall slowly and with difficulty make my way up to the identified house.
Yeah, it is a nice semi-detached house. It's not very large. It looks to be couple floors, not much going on. You know, small garden over to the side near the front door.
Well, I'm very glad that this is at least a moderately acceptable neighborhood. I shall rap on the door with my cane.
Rap on the door, and there's nothing happens.
I shall wait a moment, and I shall rap on the door again.
You shall wait another moment, and nothing will happen.
I shall try the door.
It's locked.
Is there a window in the door?
There is not. And in fact, there are curtains covering the windows in the front half of the house where you're at.
You said semi-detached? So is there a path to the back garden?
There is.
Make my way around to the back garden.
Mm-hmm. Give me a spot hidden. It's a little narrow. You have to go a little sideways. Even that doesn't work.
I do not normally spot hidden things. But in this case, I got an extreme success.
Okay. Well, you look at there's a back door, and the back door appears to be a bit ajar.
Then I shall rap on the door with my cane. I assume, once again, there will be no answer.
Nope. You rap on the door, and the door sort of swings open on you.
I shall step inside. Mr. McAvoy, are you home?
You're in a kitcheny type area. There is a smell of sour milk. You look down from the kitchen. There's a small hallway.
I shall walk down the small hallway.
There's some stairs leading up, and ahead of you, you see there's a door leading off to the area that you assume would be associated with the front door.
Dear God, stairs. I shall make my way towards the front door.
Excellent. You make your way to the front door, and if I could get a sandy roll from you.
Yeah, that's what I was expecting.
At least you don't have to climb the stairs.
No, that's a failure.
Maybe the sanity roll was for the sight of the stairs.
That's right.
Hold on a minute. Somehow I've kicked myself out of the notes. Yeah, it's very important that I get the chance to give you a little something. Yes, in the sitting room here, you can roll a d4. There is a man lying there. His corpse is decomposing. There are flies buzzing around him. There are maggots crawling over his body and the carpet.
Oh, my dear. I shall take out my handkerchief and hold it over my nose.
That's nice. If only you brought somebody with you, we could have really made the picture work, huh? if you could give me a constitution roll, please.
Probably not. oh, but once again, wow. Normal success, almost a hard success.
You began to have a gag reflex, as if you were about to not be able to handle the sight and smell of what you're seeing, but then you remembering how good the food was, you didn't want to lose it, so you held it back in.
Waste not, want not. Mm.
So, as a psychologist, I do have some medical training. So I will take a quick look to see if I can understand how, is there like a bullet hole, stab wounds, torn apart by wild animals?
With your even limited medical knowledge, you can see that his throat has been slit from ear to ear.
Ah, that would do it. Definitely a cause of death. Is there a knife?
Down, you see there's blood. No, there's, you can sort of now see that there's a nice dried up, what was undoubtedly a pool of blood next to him is all sort of dried up and become sticky and more solid.
Do I see a telephone nearby?
Sure.
Then I shall utilize the telephone and summon the police.
Excellent. They will take the call and they will dispatch an officer shortly. Is there anything you wish to do while you're waiting?
Yes, I wish to. I'm still not going to go upstairs because that would take way too long. But yes, I will just have a quick nose around to see if there's anything of particular interest regarding Mesopotamians or Nineveans or Babylonians or.
Go ahead and give me a spot hidden.
Perhaps Mr. Thompson, in reference to Mr. Thompson. Spotting the hidden. Hello. Doing well today. Hard success.
Excellent. Excellent. So you poke around a bit. So this place is in a fair bit of disarray. Clearly someone has, the things are sort of pushed aside, their papers. As you sort of poke around through, you do find photographs of what you assume is this guy. It looks enough like him. There's enough left of him for you to sort of do some sort of ID. There are pictures of him in a variety of, digs and that sort of thing. There's definitely one there with a man that I'm just going to say you know is Thompson.
Okay.
The two of them are at the entrance of what looks to be a deep passageway. There are relics from a variety of digs around through here. Can you give me an appraise roll?
Probably not.
Yeah.
No.
Okay. You have no idea how valuable they might be. But the thing you find with your spot hidden of most interest is an envelope addressed to McAvoy with a London date stamp.
I shall slip into my pocket.
Excellent. And at this point, there is a knock, knock, knocking on the front door.
I shall open the front door.
And one of London's finest is at the door. So I've heard of an incident. Oh, my! Why? Why don't you go ahead and roll me two dice for me?
Any two dice?
Roll me a D100 situation.
Okay. 32.
32. He manages to hold on to his stomach as well. But there is, obviously, you both can now share and have that shared experience of like, oh, I almost lost it on that one. He becomes quite animated, perhaps as if he hadn't quite taken you seriously before. Now, seeing this on the floor, this will initiate a process that will involve a fair bit of time on your part. It's constables come over and start, more people show up and they ask Let me just sort of punctuate this by saying, what is it you do to tell people why you are here?
I will tell people that I came to that I came looking for Terrence McAvoy as a companion to a fellow club member, Reginald Thompson, and I am trying to get in touch with Mr. Thompson. And since Terrence McAvoy is a companion of Mr. Thompson, believe was hoping that Mr. McAvoy could let me know where Mr. Thompson is.
So, give me
in other words, basically the truth.
Well, see how well that serves you. Give me a credit rating to start.
Credit rating. Oh, that's filmy.
What's that?
If this was Delta Green, that would be a critical failure, but it's not. It's just a failure.
All right. So now just give me a regular. Now give me a persuade roll. I was going to give you advantage if your credit rating had failed. I passed.
Persuade. I think I am good at persuading. I am a psychologist. Normal success.
Perfect. They take your story at face value. They thank you for your service. And as soon as they've gotten what information they want from you, including, you know, where they might find you if something else comes up, they will usher you out of the building. You will need to call a new cab. Police showing up and the amount of things has convinced the cab driver that perhaps this is not the fare he wants to wait for.
It's
taken off.
I shall summon a new cab to return me to the club and read the letter along the way.
Well, then, so I will give you the letter. There you go.
Ooh, that's small.
You can make it bigger if you wish.
Yep, I did. Okay. Okay.
You want to read it out loud just for the viewing audience?
I would be happy to. 2nd May, 1925, 85 Lavender Grove, Hackney, E8. Is that McAvoy's address? Is that where I was?
No, you're not there.
Okay. Dear Terry, I am a shambles and dare not leave the house. You know the dreams we had in Nineveh once we'd opened that damned temple. Well, they've never stopped for me. Each night I have nightmares. I think it would be better if I could at least remember them. Then perhaps I could find a way to put them from my mind. But I awake remembering nothing, just vague images of horror and a feeling of terrible dread. I don't think I've had decent night's sleep for coming on 6 years. Are you the same? Damn Thompson and damn King. They should have left it alone. We should have left it alone. If there was a way to turn back the clock, I would take it. Something was in that temple. We woke it up. The curse is real. Oh, great, another crazy guy. I should have left when Banksmith died. We don't know that name, do we, Banksmith?
You do not.
There should have been no way for those supports to give out. Oh, okay, so he was someone on the dig. Something collapsed, killed him. I didn't think at the time. Didn't listen to the others, but their tales of strange shadows and threats from the locals. If I'd only believed. Someone is watching me. That's the point of me writing to you. I guess you'll just think it another of my delusions. But honestly, there are men watching the house. They look like the ones from Nineveh. I cannot go outside. Maybe it is a delusion. Who knows? But I thought of you and to warn you in case it is them. I'm going to write to Thompson and Brightman, too. Brightman.
You know Lord Brightman. The original memorial ceremony. Yep.
If it is them, then at least I might do one thing right and warn them before it's too late. Yours, Peter.
All right, well, that's quite enough of Roger. So, go back to Team Bingo. What is your plan here, Team Bingo?
So I think myself and Maud were going to go and talk to Archie's widow.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm hanging out watching the guy who was watching the house.
Yeah, so you're going to get kidnapped, probably.
Don't worry, Heath, please. We've got
you really
back.
Take some of the... Make it look like you don't have any original ideas when you do that, you know. yes, well, let's do the group going to the house first, I guess. That seems fine. You make your way over to Gossip's house?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So he lives across from the Smitty Smith Primary School. And you can hear children playing. How are you going to approach this house?
Kitty, you're the empathetic one.
Wow. I smile are. Winningly.
You're just so genuine.
Very well. Is there a... Yeah, I'll ring the doorbell. Knock.
Not a problem. The door opens and there is a young girl there, maybe 11 or so.
Oh. Hello, my dear. What's your name?
I'm Madeline. And who might you be?
Well, oh, Madeline, very nice to meet you. My name's Kitty.
Oh, that's a fun name. What?
And then you hear a more mature but weak-sounding female voice in the background going, Madeline, don't open the door. A woman walks out. She's maybe in her 30s or so. She looks just worn down. And you people go away. Go away.
Mrs. Glossop.
We don't want any more trouble.
Oh, I'm very sorry about your loss recently, but we're trying to understand what happened to Archie. It was terrible, terrible business. She reacting in any way?
She's sort of looking. Can you give her give me a persuade roll?
I can. Can I give a charm roll in better?
No.
Fair enough. It was a nice try. Yes, normal, regular success.
She sort of looks at you and says, I don't want any more trouble. We can't do this anymore. It's taken too much from us.
Whatever do you mean? What?
Please, I must ask.
Do this again.
Please go. Please go.
Oh my dear, some other people are being followed and watched, and a poor girl has fled for her life, and we're worried about you.
And I'm worried about my children. And as I keep talking to you, they might see us.
Ooh, are you being watched as well?
Oh, sorry, I didn't hear you. Was that Jonathan?
I said, are you being watched as well?
I don't know, but they don't watch us. They come to the door. They break into our house. I'm sorry, I just can't. And she will definitely move Madeline to the side and start to push the door closed.
Okay. Well, I don't really want to force the issue with this distraught woman, but we really do just want to get to the bottom of what happened to Archie. And I mean, surely you want justice for your husband.
Ooh, that is. Go ahead and give me another persuade roll. You can both do it if you want.
You can try.
Okay. That is a hard success.
Which is good.
There we go. at the talk about, as soon as you say the word, give him justice,
which is curiously almost exactly the phrase that pays in the book here. she will look at you, give you both a once over one more time, and open up the door and say, "Come inside. Come inside."
Thank you. Come inside.
As I close the door, I look to see if they're being watched. I do. I scan the street.
Go ahead and give me a spot hidden.
That is a success.
No, you don't see anybody who seems to be watching their house. She's not interested in having you sit down and have tea and biscuits. This is standing in the hallway conversation as of now. So you think you can give my husband the justice he deserves?
Well, could you mention people coming to your door? Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Did they break into your home?
Yes. Well, yes. So what happens is Archie was killed. Said it was a routine robbery at the museum. I don't know. He was going on and on about robberies and items at the museum. It all seemed very... I think he was trying to protect me, but his silence seemed to have worked against it. I don't know. I don't know what he was doing there. He decided to work late one night, and that's when the murder happened. But then the next day, there was a man at the door. He's shifty looking. I didn't like the look of his eyes. He started asking me questions about Archie and the museum, and something about Minerva or something like that, and whether or not Archie ever brought antiques home with him. I didn't like him, so I shut the door in his face and told him to go away. The next morning, Trevor, and at the mention of the name, you see at the top of the stairs a smaller boy. He looks to be slightly younger than his sister, sort of peeks around the railing. Trevor asked me who the funny man was in his room last night.
Oh, my.
The cheek.
I went back and I checked and I saw, and Trevor's window had been jammed open, and I looked into Archie's office and it was all torn apart.
Maybe. I know it's terrible, and you've already had this violation, but there's a girl who's fled for her life, and others are feel similarly trapped in their homes. Would you allow us to look through the study? It might be terribly, terribly important.
Oh, yes.
Likewise, I think any description of these strange men could be very helpful.
Trevor sort of speaks up. I saw him. I think I thought it was a dream. There was this man. He was in black robes, a funny hat type thing on his head. I woke up when he was crawling through my room, and I looked at him, and he put his finger to his lips, shushing me to be quiet. I just crawled underneath my covers.
What kind of hat was he wearing?
It covered his head and sort of draped down the side. I don't know. He'll describe it to you, and you're relatively sure it's some sort of turban.
Okay. Interesting. Mrs. Glossop, I'm so sorry. What is your name?
Lisa.
Lisa. the man that came to your door, was he dressed in a similar way?
No, he was wearing a very nice dark suit.
Okay.
I just felt he was, just looked at me. I could tell he was hostile.
Well, I think you did the right thing. But
if we could see his office and
yes,
then...
yes.
Oh, and she will then sort of lead you upstairs. Its office is a vast overstatement. It is more like in a slightly larger closet, mm-hmm. with a desk and a chair. And you know, bookcases on top of the desk and over the side. You know, it's there's barely enough room for one of you to sort of make your way in. But everything has been tossed aside. It just looks like, you know, somebody has clearly sort of torn apart this room.
Still, I'll give it a once over to see if they missed anything or if it seemed like they were focusing on written works or were they trying, does it look like they were searching behind things looking for something hidden?
Sure, go ahead and give me a spot in hidden.
No.
I will assist. Oh, 04. Ew. Extreme.
So you look around and then Kitty walks in and looks around. It's hard to tell from the way things are sort of thrown apart, but you're 04, you're able to sort of mentally recreate what the room looked like. And you get that you notice that there are two. There are three or four boxes that have sort of material in them that looks a lot like the material that when you were handed a box with a statue, the same sort of thing you might carry a valuable item in and to protect it. But you are quite sure that if there were artifacts here of any value, they are gone now.
So sorry, are you saying we think there was something here? But
it does. He's the same sort of boxes that he used before. Right. Giving it to you are here, so it's not a leap of logic to say. Yep. Well, clearly he brought something home from work, and whatever it was, or had other things that he wanted to keep safe. Perhaps something with a golden statue with a half man, half. Fin type thing.
Yeah.
Whatever those things are, they're gone now.
I'm worried, Maud. There's
yes.
Two children here.
Well, I wonder if we should she can go stay with.
Yeah. If she doesn't, I think we should send her away somewhere. I have friends with
Although,
country estates.
It does look like they got everything he brought home.
Yes.
I didn't see anybody on the street. It may be that she doesn't know anything.
Let's stop with you for just a brief moment. Heathcliff, could you give me a stealth roll, please?
Oh, dear. Forgotten about Heathcliff.
Uh, 19. So that actually makes it.
You are there. It's around 2 o'clock or so when there is a proverbial shifting of the guard. Car pulls up. The other guy was sort of tall and thin. This new man is sort of short and squat, but looks relatively muscular. They exchange a few words, and the tall and thin man gets into the car and drives off.
I'll take note of the number plate of the car.
Perfect. And I think we will end it there.